You can turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 11, and we're going to read there, verse 23. And if God blessed you with more than one finger, you can also turn to Proverbs 18, Spreuke 18, Proverbs 18, and also 1 Peter 3. And just keep those other fingers there, Proverbs 18 and 1 Peter chapter number 3. I think there was also Matthew's 12. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote Matthew's 12. You will just have to believe me that it's in the Bible. But you can turn there if you want to. Matthew's 12, we're going to read there as well. So Mark 11, Proverbs 18, and 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's start with Mark. Assuredly, I say to you, verse 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. You can underline that or make a mark there. Does not doubt in his heart, but really believes that those things he says, not those things that he prays, but those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I want you to underline that. The Bible doesn't say you will have whatever you pray. It says that you will have whatever you say, right? There are many Christians who contradict their prayers through their speaking. They pray positive, and then when they leave that area, or when they leave that prayer mode that they were in, the moment that they start hanging out with their social circles around Bryce or in a restaurant, they start to talk negative. So you can cancel any good prayer with bad speaking. Our mouths are powerful things that God gave us. For those of you that don't know this, but the very center that you use in your brain for movement is the very same center that controls speech. That's why if somebody asks you, how are you today? And you tell them, ach, ik voel so bietjie af vandag. The moment that you say those words, you feel like a... Have you ever realized that? When you say to someone, oh, ek voel nie lus vir werk vandag nie. It's like your entire body. It's because the very same center that controls your body motion controls speech. Or let me put it this way. The very same center of the brain that controls speech controls your motoring movements. But if you say to somebody, no man, you know what, there are some challenges in my life, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. The moment when you say that, it's like something happens in your body. What comes out of our mouths really determines a lot in our lives. And it's not as though words have magic properties, because they don't. It's only that words have the ability to program behavior. And when you say, I feel down, I feel negative, I feel this, I feel that, then it slows down your movement. It impacts your behavior. And once it impacts your behavior negatively, it impacts your results negatively. But once your words impact your behavior in a positive manner, it impacts your results in a positive. Does it make sense? So when you say something that causes you to move slowly, then you're not going to win the race. But if you say something that's going to cause you to move quickly, you're going to win the race. It only makes sense. So he who believes in his heart, and believe what he says will come to pass. It's incredible how we can, with conviction, say something negative. And then we say to that person, jy moet nou baie mooi kyk, hierdie gaan gebeur. And then the dog does die. And then you say to everybody, you see that you can say. So this scripture is not only related to what we say positively, it's also what we say related to what we say negatively. Negative speech is still faith. It's only faith upside down. Are you with me? So he who believes in his heart and absolutely believes what he says will come to pass, he will have what he says. But it need to be a fixture in your heart. Let's look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I'm going to show you later an experiment that was conducted through speech. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18, 21. And then 1 Peter 3, verse 10. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, here is Baimoy. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil, negativity, skepticism. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So the Bible says, if you want to see good life and you want to have good days, then keep your lips from speaking deceit. In any good dictionary, the definition for the word or the meaning for the word deceit is misinterpreting the truth. That's what deceit is. Now, there are two dynamics about your life. The one dynamic about your life and about your circumstance are facts, and the other one is truth. And they're not the same. Never confuse the two. The fact is, I'm sick. The truth is, 3 stripes, I'm healed. The fact is, I'm going through a tough spot in my life. The truth is, this is not the final story. The fact is, I feel that I'm in a dead end. The truth is, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Can you see the difference? So never confuse fact with truth in your life. And sometimes we speak fact as truth. And we speak fact with conviction as though it is truth. And we enslave ourselves with our own words. Because words have power. Right? If you say, hey man, I'm in a dead end, I've got no options. You know what happens to your brain? It shuts. God gave you your brain to support you. Your brain is like a slave and you are the master. And whatever word comes out of your mouth, your brain takes that as a command and it helps you to produce those results. So when you say, I'm in a dead end, I've got no options, what your brain does, it says, okay, master, let's do that. Let's work on that. Let's give you no options. When I'm in a coaching session with somebody and we start to and we start to brainstorm their lives, my biggest responsibility as a coach is to help people see options. Because people have this ability to drive themselves into a spot, to get themselves into a corner against the ropes, and they don't see any way out. And now they sit with you, you are a stranger looking from the outside, and you start to tell them, hey man, you backed yourself up against the ropes. You've got some options. Are you with me here today? Does it make sense? So be careful of deceit. The Bible says, if you misinterpret the truth, then you will not have good life. Don't misinterpret the truth. Whenever you find yourself in a difficult spot in your life, always ask yourself this question. What is the fact? And what is the truth? And always distinguish. Are you with me? This morning I want to talk to you. The topic of my word is moving mountains. For those of you taking notes, can write this down. Moving mountains. Can you listen to Skaif Dijberg? Poppy. I'm not going to preach very long because I want to pray for people. Moving mountains. Oprah Winfrey said, you don't get in life what you want, you get in life what you believe. Now we can just ponder on that one liner right there. You don't get in life what you want. You don't get in life what you wish for. You don't get in life. You don't even get in life what you feel you deserve. You only get in life what you really, truly believe. And here is the thing about belief. Now remember that we read in the book of Mark, our very first scripture that we read, that if you say something with your mouth and you really believe it with your heart, you will have what you say. So you don't get in life what you want, but you get in life what you believe. And here's the crazy thing about the mouth. Let me first say this in Afrikaans, and I'm going to translate it in English. Ons monde het 'n manier om te klik op ons harte. Jou mond is 'n regte klikback. So let me try and put that in English. Your mouth has this ability. What is kinder in Engels? Your mouth has this ability to gossip about your heart. Right? Because there's even a scripture in the Bible that says what the heart is full of, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, your mouth is an autopilot. It can't help itself. It just runs it. It's like water that flows. If I really want to know what is in your heart, I only have to be in your presence for 5 minutes and allow you to simply speak. And I will know what is in your heart. I will know what is your true conviction. When somebody comes and sit in front of me and they have a trouble in their lives, then I start to ask them questions. Why do I ask questions? Because I know that whatever is in the heart, die mond kan nie anders nie, hy gaan klik. It's a click back. And the mouth is going to say exactly what is in the heart. And that's what that scripture means, that If you say something with your mouth and you really believe it with all of your heart, with conviction, even if it's negative, you will have whatever you say. Because it comes from a place of belief. Our mouths speak always from a place of true conviction. Always. If your mouth doesn't say it, you don't really believe it. We only really speak what we truly, really believe. It's not so. And you can try and deceive yourself and say, a clue, hier is rarig. But if you never say to someone what it is that you believe, you don't really believe it because your mouth is not running it. Your mouth is not advertising it. There's no propaganda in your mouth. So the mouth is linked to the heart. It's going to say what is really, really in there. And this is the place, the area where God wants to challenge us. What is really in your heart? Because from your heart, your mouth is going to start speaking. It's Matthew 12:34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I told you right in the beginning that the very same center of the brain that controls speech is also the very same area that controls our motor actions, right? And that's why we have the results that we sometimes have, not because the words necessarily were magic, but because it influenced how we behave, and then that produced certain results. But there was an experiment in 2014, March 11th, and it was a Japanese scientist with the name Mr. or Dr. Emoto, right? And they conducted this experiment. And it's actually on YouTube. You can go and check it out. It's a true story. You can go and check it out. In 2014. And this is what they did. Dr. Emoto took 3 beakers or flasks, whatever you want to call them. And he put cooked rice in them, and he poured water over the rice. And then he took 2 labels, and on the first beaker, he put the label that read, thank you. On the second beaker, he put the label that read, you are an idiot. And on the last beaker, he didn't put nothing. He just left it. He called it the control beaker. There was just nothing. And so all of them, same rice, same water. For 30 days, every day, he would go to the first beaker and he would speak over it, thank you. He would go to the second beaker and he would speak over it, you are an idiot. And the third beaker, he would simply ignore. And he would do that for 30 days. Thank you. You're an idiot. I'm ignoring you. After 30 days, the rice in the first beaker that had the label thank you, where he spoke thank you over it, turned a nice color, and there was, as he says, like a sweet aroma to the rice. The beaker with the label idiot on it, and where he spoke the word idiot over it every single day, turned black. And the third beaker, which he ignored, was the worst beaker of them all. He says it was like a green sludge, and it really had a stench to it, the third beaker. And we would think that the beaker that idiot was written on would be the worst, but the third one that was totally ignored was the worst. And in his own words, and let me just quote it to you, because he said it powerful. I don't want to water it down. He says, the ignored rice fared worse because negligence and indifference are the absolute worst thing we can do to water rice or to ourselves. Negligence and indifference. And when you look at the word indifference and what it means, indifference means lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm, lack of importance. It's neither good or bad, like lukewarm. Do you remember the scripture in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, where God said, because you were not hot or cold, but because you were lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Indifference. It's like when somebody greets you and they say to you, how are you? And you say, goed dankie. This, you don't really mean it. You just do it because that's what we do. But it's indifferent. It's an indifferent answer. We did a course the other day, about 2 months ago, did a course, the neuroscience of selling and marketing. And in that course, they said that people out there who sell the least is because when they greet a client, they greet them with an attitude of indifference. They don't really mean the greet. Hello? Nah. I've got a printer I want to sell you. Nah. Indifference. Nothing really important about it. Nothing really exciting about it. No enthusiasm about it. Indifference is also when you, like for instance, you go to a church meeting and you sing, but you don't really sing, or you clap, but you don't really clap. Indifference is a friend inviting you to a rugby game and you're sitting there and you're in the game, but also not in the game. I mean, they're playing. If they win, it's fine. If they lose, it's fine. It's indifference. Lukewarm. Indifference. It's the worst thing that we can do to rice, water, or ourselves. How do you feel about your life? How do you feel about the importance about your life? How do you feel about the purpose of your life? How do you feel about the value of your life? One in a 400 trillion chance that you would be here. One in 400 trillion chance that you would be here. How do you feel about your life? How do you feel about the fact that you're sitting here and you are breathing? How do you feel about that? Are you indifferent? It's the worst thing that you can do to yourself. You could rather say idiot to yourself. Don't do that. But you could rather do that than being indifferent and being like, morgen gaan ons weer werk toe. Morgen weer maandag. Indifferent. Going through life indifferent. No enthusiasm. No importance. You know what's the worst thing that you can do when it comes to time of giving in a church meeting, when it's time for offering and tithes, is to give with an attitude of indifference. Kind of like, that's 20 rand. That's 100 rand. That's my tiende. Indifferent. It's the worst thing that you can do in time of giving. When somebody asks you, how are you? The worst thing that you can do is not look them in the eye and tell them with enthusiasm, I'm good, how are you? Or you know what, I'm facing some challenges. How's your life? Not being indifferent, but seeing the moment as important. Seeing the moment as I'm here in the moment with you. Because indifference is going to do us harm. So say to the person sitting next to you, watch out for indifference. Watch out for indifference. In the horse industry, we teach the people, well, I teach the people when they have a problem with their horse, I teach them, say what you mean and mean what you say. So there's this one lady at the horse yard, some issues about their horse, and he has to build some muscle, and they have to build his top line, and the best thing for that is doing some long lining. I'm not going to explain what long lining is in detail, but it's two lines in your hand, and you work the horse. And so she needs to learn how to work this horse. But it's actually her son's horse, and it's going to be the first time that she's really going to work this horse. So we get into the arena, and I mean, this is such a classic example of indifference. We get into the arena, and I show her how to do this, and then she starts working this horse, and she's like, now she wants the horse to go for the Afrikaans people. Kom. Come now. I turn to her, I say to her, if you tell me in that tone of voice, come now, I'm also going to do nothing. What are you doing? You must say for the perde moet gaan. Ek sê, you say niks. Look, the horse is walking, it's confused. You're indifferent. Mean what you say, say what you mean. When you want the horse to go, come. Of gaan. Ja. So, nou gaan ons. Ja. Now, she can't remember the word long lining, so she calls it lang arm. Ons gaan lang arm. Ons gaan dans. Ek soos hierdie Afrikaanse mense, die Here moet ons help. Ons gaan lang arm. Lang arm. So now this horse is walking. Now I say to her, okay, the horse is starting to sleep on you. It's going slower and slower because we need to get this horse into a trot and then into a canter. Please get this horse to go faster. Come. Come now. Accept me, Annie. I'm telling you. Come now. I'm standing there. I'm more confused than the horse. I'm feeling bad for the animal, to be honest. I'm like, Jesse, broer, sorry dat ons jou in hierdie situasie hierso het met hierdie vrou hier vandag. She's getting under our skins here today. And I turned to her, I said to her, you have to mean what you say, say what you mean. Don't be indifferent. There has to be enthusiasm. If a command comes out of your mouth, it has to be important. So you want him to go faster? Come. Horse goes faster. And then we go into the trot. And you know what happened in this arena for the next 30 minutes? I worked with a woman and not with a horse. Honest story. Honest. Honest. She needed the help, not the horse. Well, that's the case with most horse owners. They need the help, not the horse. They actually made the horse worse. So, and now we're working the horse. And it took her 30 minutes to understand. When you say something, mean it. Don't be indifferent. Not only will you confuse the animals around you, you will confuse your entire orbit. If you say something, but you don't really mean it, there's no authority in it. There's no importance in it. How do you feel about your life? How do you feel about your life? How do you feel about the value and the purpose of your life? Is your life only Is it only kumbaya? Is your lewe net 'n bysaak? Or is your life a matter of importance? Is your life a matter of urgency? Because you only have one. And nobody in this building know when they're going to die. So is your life a matter of importance? Is it a matter of urgency? And if it is, then what you believe in your heart and what comes out of your mouth should have some thrust behind it. Are you with me? Don't be lukewarm in your engagement to your own life. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Now, let me start landing this plane and we're going to pray. When standing in front of your mountain, there are two very dangerous words that you should never say. You should avoid these words. You will never move any mountain in your life with these words. And it's only two words. The guys can just put it up on the screen for me. Those of you taking notes can write these words down. Well, you will remember them. If only. You will never move any mountain in your life with those two words. Ach, as ons maar net. Papa. As ons maar net, mama. As ons maar net nooit die huis verkoop het nie. If only we never started this business. If ever, if only we never loaned the money. If only. If only we never moved from Klerksdorp to Pretoria. If only we never did this and never did that. You can never move any mountain in your life with those two words. Because those two words, what they do is they enslave. They enslave you to mistakes. And to failures. They enslave you to your past. They enslave you to what was. And here is the crazy thing about what was. You cannot change anything about it. But you can enslave yourself to something that you can do nothing about with these two words, if only. If only are the two words that will paralyze you. Whenever in your life you say, if only I never. Whenever you use those words, they will do this to you. They will make you shrink. They will paralyze you. If you use those two words, if only, you might think you have no options. If you use those two words, if only, you may think that you used up all your chances in life and that you've got no other chance left for God to come through for you or for your lot to change. If only. If you ever use those words, you will never move any mountain. If only is the language of people who live in procrastination. If only will make you a slave to inaction. You will never take the necessary action because you will be stuck in a zone of if only. Get these two words out of your vocabulary. And you're going to start to see mountains move in your life. Now, three powerful words that you have to use when you're ever in front of your mountain is this. In spite of. In spite of how I feel. I'm going to win this thing in my life. In spite of my past, my future will be brilliant. In spite of what happened yesterday, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that my tomorrow can be brilliant. In spite of the fact that I don't have the money that I want in my life, I still believe that God is the dream maker. And that my dreams can come true. In spite of anything that happened last year or the year before last year, or 10 years ago, or whenever, I do believe with everything on the inside of me that I can start today and tomorrow can be totally different, in spite of. Whereas if only will paralyze you, in spite of, it will activate something in you. It will energize something on the inside of you. And whenever we stand in front of a mountain, these are the words that need to come out of our mouths. That in spite of anything, I believe it all can be better in my life. And I want you to take those three words, and this is going to be homework for some of you. Those three words, in spite of. And I want you to go home today, and I want you to color those words. To color them. Fill them in. I want you to go home this afternoon and write down on a piece of paper, in spite of. And then you begin to write, in spite of what? And you can write the entire page if you want to do that. That is one of the things that I teach a lot of people to do when it comes to empowering themselves. It's all got to do with internal dialogue. Everybody sitting in this place, you're speaking to yourself. And of all the people that you're going to have a conversation with in your lifetime, you're going to speak to yourself the most. And it's not what I believe about your life, it is what you believe about your life. It is not what I say about your future, it is what you say about your future. Your inner dialogue is the kicker. Your inner dialogue is the secret. And those three words, in spite of, has the ability to help us adjust that inner dialogue. What is it that you're saying to yourself? What is it that you're saying to your circumstance? Fact, truth, two totally different things. What is your internal dialogue? In spite of, that's the bottom line. That is what I believe about my life. I want you to stand with me and let's pray in this place. The first thing that I want us to do is I want to give you opportunity to give. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to put faith into this giving, into your seed. You're not gonna grab somewhere in your pocket with a spirit of indifference like, oh, doing it elke zondag. Waar is die vyf rand? Don't do that. Don't do your giving with a spirit of indifference. This is my seed. Seed has the ability to produce a harvest. God loves a cheerful. Enthusiasm, importance, a sense of urgency to it. It's not a 10 rand, it's not a 1,000 rand, it's a seed. And a seed has the ability to become a forest. I am planting a forest in my life through my giving. I will not allow lukewarmness to invade my wallet. I will not allow lukewarmness to invade my act of giving. And so, Father God, we come in the name of Jesus Christ. And we want to infuse every seed in this place with faith and with a sense of importance, with mindfulness. This is what is leaving my hand today, but it's never leaving my life. And I give it with a sense of command that this seed shall go before me and produce according to the will of God. And I thank you for that in the wonderful name of Jesus. So I want you to take your seed in your hand. What is it that you speak over your seed? What is it that you speak over your seed? Do you ever speak over your seed? I want to give you opportunity to do that. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds. Right there where you're standing. Just hold that seed and just say something over it, will you? Just say something over it. Don't be indifferent. Don't say nothing. That's the worst thing that you can do. Don't ignore your seed. Don't ignore this moment. Say something over it. You can say something like, I command the seed to produce a harvest that will not fail. You can say, this seed is my love offering. This seed is my act of appreciation. This seed is inviting God to journey with me financially. What is it that you want to say over your seed? You can only say to your seed also, life. Just hold it in your hand and just say to it, life. I will never ignore my seed this moment and treat it with a spirit of indifference. I will always treat it with a spirit of enthusiasm and a sense of importance in Jesus' name. I want you to come to the front. There are baskets here for those of you who want to make use of a debit or credit card. You're more than welcome to go to the foyer area. And Christine will meet you there and help you.
Here's to the one who made the morning bright. Here's to the one who taught the stars to shine.
Right, you can stand with me. You can stand with me. Father God, we came into this meeting today to declare that this is a moment for mountains to move in people's lives. Everybody's mountain is different. For some people in this room, their mountain is people. For others, it's a work situation. For others, it's health. For others, it's thoughts. There are so many areas today that can be covered, and your Holy Spirit knows every detail. And Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come and deal with every mountain in people's lives here today. And I want to thank you that you infuse us with a faith to be able to stand in front of this mountain, not with a spirit of indifference, but to stand in front of this mountain and say what we mean. And mean what we say. There is not a mountain in this room that cannot be moved. Every mountain in this room can be moved. Because there is nothing impossible with God. And now I want to thank you, Father God, that you strengthen us with faith on the inside. So that the mouth can run and say what we truly believe. I believe this mountain can move. I believe that this situation can change. I believe that something good can come from something bad. I believe that God can turn this around. I believe that the sun can break through this dark cloud. I believe that every storm eventually runs out of rain. I believe that God makes strong the one who is weak. I believe that God takes pity and has compassion on those who are in a situation of pain and trouble. I believe that God makes a way where there seems to be no way. I believe that God turns water into wine. I believe that He multiplies the fish and the bread. I believe that He opens up the blind eyes. I believe that He takes a situation that seems so impossible and He turns it around. And I believe that he can even meet me at the point of my unbelief and help me. That is the faith that is in my heart. Father God, we come before you this morning with humble hearts. We come before you with hearts that says, Lord, we need your intervention in some of these areas in our lives. And Lord, may you do it as a testimony to your name and to your glory. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. And we declare over every mountain in this room today, your time has come. Your time has come. You have to move. The faith in my heart says that no mountain is in my life as a permanent fixture. The mountain is only in my life to prove where my faith is at, where my confession is at, where my language is at, so that God can strengthen me in that area of my life. So every mountain that is in this room, your time has come. You're going to move because nothing is impossible with God. Anya, I want to thank you, Father God, that nothing is impossible with you. And the concerns and the requests that we bring before you, we want to thank you, Father God, that you listen attentively to it and that you answer our prayer simply because you love us that much. So we declare even over our own family and over this spiritual family in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ that God is removing every single mountain. It's a mountain moving moment in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we command this mountain to move in Jesus' name. Now just before I dismiss you, will you just quickly say, Pastor Fani, we declare that God moves the mountains over your life in Jesus' name. Just say it one more time. I receive that in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you right now, some of you are going to see some movement even this coming week. I can feel it in my heart. It's going to be awesome.